Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have Malcolm Aloud. He's a political news commentator, and we're going to talk about his book, Smash the Competition. Before we begin, if you have any questions, please call at 347-324-3460, 347-324-3460, or you can post a question in the chat room. I'm not going to read it out loud. Malcolm, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tim. Good to be with you this morning.
Great. Kind of tell us some of the audience about yourself. They like to get the personal view from the person themselves, if you don't mind.
Enough. Very quick. We won't bore people. Let's get to it. But I spent over 25 years in corporate boardrooms around the world. Really, I come from the business side. I wasn't really one of the political talking heads. I really started to get more interested in news and politics when I see how screwed up government was and how backwards things are, you know. But over the years, Tim, you know, being in the boardrooms, I realized there's a lot of smart people in business. I mean, I remember sitting through a lot of these meetings where, you know, you felt at the end of the meeting you accomplished some things, but yet it stayed right there in the boardroom. So the whole essence to where I got started was how do we bring leaders to the mic? How do we get the right people to the mic so we can make a difference? And that's kind of where my inspiration came from to try to bridge from the business community. I had run a worldwide marketing and advertising agency, so I had helped businesses make money over the years and had produced, directed a lot of radio, television. But this was my foray into a new medium when I wrote my first book and really began a radio show, which is about 4 years ago now. So that was my transition in life. You know how you make sometimes those big transitions? That was mine. You know?
Yeah, I totally understand.
Yeah, and great. As an author as well as speaker, and I love to speak, always love to energize people, and that's really been a focus of mine, as I always love to get a great group and inspire. That's really what we need to do, is inspire more people to, I think that's what America does best, is keeping people with open minds and really pushing the limits, becoming more absurd in their thinking. We'll talk about that a little bit.
Okay, definitely. I guess just to go back to the book itself, what inspired you to write the book?
Well, you know, I always wonder, Tim, think about this a minute, okay? It always amazes me in a football game, right? Think about this now, how the last 2 minutes of a game, there is more energy and more power in a football game at the end of a game that it's amazing. And I've always said, my God, if they could play that way when they started the game, they'd blow it out, right or wrong?
You're absolutely right.
I mean, they would blow it out. I mean, if you could package that power of that energy in the last 2 minutes of a football game, man, you would be able to do so much. It's amazing. So that always struck me as odd. Why do we get up at those key moments of life? Well, it brings me to the Olympics. How do Olympians, how do they pull it off when the stakes are that high and they have to perform at that level at that moment? And you can translate to real life when you think about our day-to-day. You know, there are times where we each get those moments where we have to gel, we have to be at our very best, we have to excel, and if we do, the dividend is there, the payoff is there. And if we don't, it's average. So what I've seen with the 2008 Beijing Olympics, you remember them, I'm sure, well, because Michael Phelps created history at that race, right?
Mm-hmm.
He won 8 gold medals, and he beat Mark Spitz, okay? So which the record at that point was 7. Now, Phelps didn't do it alone, because the second race really dictated, and the Americans were not supposed to win the second race, and he would have never been able to really create Olympic history had they not won that race. And that was the 4x100 meter relay race, was that second race. There were four swimmers involved. So it was no longer Justin Phelps' court. He didn't have the total control. And we can all relate to that when we have to play with the team or we have to work with other people. We can keep our end of the bargain up, but, hell, we can't control what other people do, can we?
No, we can't.
Yeah. So what happens is with that race, Tim, amazingly enough, Jason Lezak put an amazing time in. In fact, out of the four swimmers, Phelps was the slowest time, believe it or not, out of those four swimmers to win, and they won that gold medal. But here's how they won it. The French said they really messed with them by saying, we're going to smash the Americans. Now, if I was to tell you right now, Tim, that you can't host the radio show because you can't, because you're not good. I mean, someone's going to do it better than you. What is that going to do to you?
Yeah, it's going to crush you.
Yeah. Well, I think hopefully it inspires you to do better.
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
You want to prove people wrong, I think. I think what we all want to do is if somebody says, listen, at least for me, if somebody says I can't do something or something else, I'm the first one to raise the flag and charge in, man. You don't tell me no. So here's what happened in that race. I think when the French said they were going to smash the Americans, that fueled the Americans. One of the lessons we had in the corporate boardroom is never talk trash about the competition.
No.
Never burn bridges and never talk trash, because you don't know where that's going to come back to haunt you. Yet so many people do. Well, you fuel the competition when you do that, and that's what happened with the French. They fueled the Americans, and the Americans went on to create Olympic history, not only by taking that race back, but allowing Phelps to go on to win a record 8 gold medals and Olympic history. That's the essence of the book. Now, there are lessons, of course, along the way of how we did that, how they did that, and how we can do that in our own lives. You know, and there are many factors of that. You know, one of the things I've seen throughout the years, Tim, and you probably can relate to this, is what I call the four human ailments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are some consistent flaws in human beings that hold us all back. And I see it time and time again. And there's no way you can win your own Olympic gold medal in your life. And there's no way you can win the next race or do the next feat if you have these ailments. It's not possible. There's no way. And that's where I think society gets caught up. We've become, unfortunately, a very average society. Too many people fall into the trap of these ailments. So, you know, we've got to do better. And that's the whole point of this. The ailments, by the way, are complacentitis,
mm-hmm.
not now fever, dirty money, and the rat syndrome.
Okay. So, wow.
How's that?
Wow, that's something else. Can they elaborate?
Well, the ailments. Obviously, complacentitis is pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've become a very complacent society. We just don't. Too many people again fall into that where they don't have the drive. They don't push the agenda forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because you become settled in your life. And I've always been accused of shaking things up too much or changing things too much. And I think that, there are those who are very complacent, and you can't be extraordinary in your career, in your life, your business, your profession, as a person. You cannot be extraordinary if you're complacent, because there's no way you're going to push the envelope, and you can't become a brink thinker, Tim, which we'll talk about a little bit after here, which is very key for folks to understand
okay.
what it takes to have a brink thinking mentality, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge, and that's beyond the book. That's significant. I mean, there's a lot to learn in there and understand. So complacentitis. The next one, not now fever. This notion that people are very much procrastinators. It's always about not now. So I see a lot of executives, a lot of business people, they put it off and they don't do it today. They do it tomorrow. They do it another week. They do it another month. They push it off. Not now. And it's never now. It's always some. In fact, when you create a to-do list, I think what happens is some of the more important items on your agenda. Think about it. If you go through your mind right now, mm-hmm. and you come up with a half a dozen items of things that you really need to accomplish. Okay. Maybe one or two of those things on that list are not easy. They're more difficult challenges for you. What I find what happens is people get caught up into those. They don't get those difficult things done. They'll get all the small things done around that, and they don't get. And sometimes these things are what bear the most fruit for one, but yet they push them off. Because they come up with all kinds of reasons, and everyone's experienced it. You come up with all kinds of excuses and reasons because you don't want to really address the problem. You don't want to really tackle the tough challenge. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And that really is, to me, the problem where we are procrastinating consistently. So we're not in a now mode today. We're more, let's push it off. And it really never gets done. And so the most difficult things that sometimes, again, are the most effective for you in your life, you're never really getting to. It's that old saying about working on your business versus working in your business. Too many people are working in their business and they're not thinking and working on their business to really grow it and working on their lives to really grow them. So that's, I would say, the second one. And the third one is what I call dirty money. And dirty money is, again, making the wrong decisions in your life based on money. When you're in life, again, you're in business and, you know, you often, it's like when you're in sales. Here's a prime example, I guess. When you're in sales, too many people oversell. You know, smart people can see a salesperson a mile away, and typically we avoid them like the plague, right?
Absolutely. You know,
whether they're calling you on the phone and harassing you, whether you're in there doing something, or whether you're selling a financial product to them, or whatever you're doing, there's the point of people who sell just to sell, and there's those people who sell because they want to improve one's life. They want to do it for the right reasons. People can read that. You're never going to be able to, I think, be a phony and succeed. So that means if you're not going to be a phony, then you've got to be willing to put it out there. You've got to be willing to walk the talk. I mean, you got to do it vice versa here. But so I think that dirty money is don't sell out. Don't sell yourself out. I think if you go in with conviction and you go in there with honorability, the chances are of you succeeding, I think, rise exponentially, you see. Mm-hmm. The last ailment is the rat syndrome, which is really one of my favorites. And because I think that What makes Malcolm unique is I never fell into these ailments. Don't ask me why. I guess I just, even as a young boy, I just always beat to a different drum. And so this is something I always say, and it's a person. But the rat syndrome is too many people trying to be like other people. And I always laugh when I see that. I see people who want to be like other folks. And you become the envy of some people are the envy of other folks. But mm-hmm. they spend all their life, they spend all their time trying to be like these other people. Why be anybody else but yourself? You know, why? Mm-hmm. What are you trying to? You're never going to be anybody else but yourself. So why not be the best model of yourself that you can be? Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the key to it. Yeah, I mean, be the best you can be. And so I think the rat syndrome is too many followers, too many people that follow each other, even trends. I laugh when you're out, you're buying something personal for yourself, maybe at some clothes or something else, and some people will say, well, but that's not really in today, or you really shouldn't wear that because you'll stick out like a sore thumb. Those are both reasons probably why you should buy it. One, to stick out like a so it's fine. Be unique. Be yourself. You'll strive for a higher calling when you fit the bill and you are who you are. And I think a lot of people miss that, that calling. And that's why society has so many followers. We're all trying to follow each other. Everybody's trying to do the same thing that the next guy or gal is going to do. And I think that's the problem. So I think if you're going to succeed and become your own Olympian in your life, I think you have to avoid these ailments, pure and simple. And, you know, if you're blessed one day, you're in the Olympics, you certainly are not going to succeed and win any sort of a medal if you are a procrastinator, if you're very complacent in your life, if you're selling out constantly and making the wrong decisions based on the dollar bill, and if you follow what everybody else is doing, because there's no way that's going to work. I mean, you've got to train in an extraordinary way. You've got to be extraordinary in every way to be able to win a gold medal. And that's what we mean by you smash the competition the right way by being yourself, by being who it is you're going to be, Tim. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. We need to take a break real quick and keep that thought, because I think I have some questions about that. We'll be back in about 40 seconds. We'll take a break for our sponsor. Give me 1 second.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
We're back with Malcolm Out Loud, Smash the Competition. Back on that thought real quick regarding the rat syndrome. And can you go ahead and talk about that again? I cut you off. I'm sorry at the station break. But then I have a question that you mentioned earlier regarding people, why business leaders kind of procrastinate. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're speaking about the rat syndrome.
Yes.
Well, it's again, it's easy. I don't know where we caught off or left that, but again, I think it's just about being an individual, being unique, not trying to be like other people. I think the best mm-hmm. advice we can give somebody, Tim, is don't beat to your own drum, be your own person. You can only be yourself, so there's no need of following other people. And that means you're going to take more chances, hopefully, because that's where the rubber meets the road, which, again, we'll talk about in a little bit, which is really brink thinking. That's where the mm-hmm. rubber meets the road. And I think if you become your own thinker and your own person, the more people we have in that mode, I mean, that's the better society is going to be. And really, that's where America's roots are. That's where this country had become great. Some of the inventors and thinkers and innovators we've had that didn't follow necessarily what other people were doing. They stood out and they appeared very strange for a lot of reasons. And you can come
Absolutely.
Down the list and see. I mean, these people, they did great things. But now, had they been average or followed other people, there's no way we would have some of the inventions and some of the innovations we have today. So that's it. Be your own person.
Be your own person. So what happened within the last 30 or 40 years that now we're more of a cookie-cutter society? Well, but anyway, we still have people that are still going to be on their own and do their own thing and be unique. However, we have part of our society, we want this cookie-cutter mold that they want everybody to fit in this particular cookie box. Is there something that has changed within the 60s and beyond, which was a great liberation time, but something now made people fall in these particular, hey, you got to be in the suburb and there's been this house and so forth, all the houses, it's the same. How did we get in this cookie cutter mode and how can we get out of it?
Okay, let's bring it back to this. I think it comes down to a lot of it is really even our kids and our youth, how we treat our kids. Think about when your kids, all right, if you're out there, you have kids, and you'll understand what I'm saying. We're so quick to say, leave that alone, little Betty. Joe, no. And we keep telling Joe no. Oh, probably, I'm sure Joe hears no. Little Joe probably hears no 15 times a day. That's all he does here is don't touch, no. Leave it alone, no. Don't do that, no. Well, guess what we're putting in these kids' minds?
No.
That's brilliant, Sam. Yes.
Stay in your spot.
They really think they can't do anything. Kids are very inquisitive. They're very, very, their minds are very innovative. They want to see how stuff works. They want to see how things go. So they do things that we consider crazy, or they'll break things. And, but see, this is the learning process of life. This is how we evolve, and this is how kids learn and they understand. And so I think that a lot of it comes back to the way we raise our kids. I think we scare the innovation right out of them, and I think we make it sure that they're going to be average and they're going to fit right in. How many other times as a teenager do you hear people say, and a lot of you can experience this in your own lives, where the high school, junior high school, peer pressure, you could never stick out, because if you did, you would be sort of the laughing stock, more or less, right? It was always about blending in. Nobody really, think about it. You didn't see anybody really stick out. And if somebody did stick out, chances are they were being ridiculed, or they couldn't take the heat, or they had to try to blend in, or the advice they got from their parents or friends or others is, don't push the envelope, just blend in. Why are you trying to create so much of a ruckus? Am I right? How many times have you heard this?
Yeah, I've heard that, because I was a student council president.
You were student council president.
I was a student council president. They elected me for the senior year, and I was just liberal and wanted to save the world. But I guess being there for your fourth year from the ninth grade, you had a lot of seniority, and everybody. And then we had this new principal come in, and I just wanted to buck the system.
See, you know what I mean, Tim.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was elected senior class clown, so I had one up on you, buddy. The point is that, you see where I'm going. So I think what's happened is, starting with our kids, I think we need to relax the rules a little bit and let them be kids, let them be innovative. I see people now, Tim, and I see little kids, young kids that are 8, 10 years old, whatever, and where their mother, their father, all they do is yell at them. They yell at them in the morning. They yell at them at noon. They yell at them at night. And they don't know they're yelling. It's their way of talking. You understand? Kids, get that. And they must tell them 25 times to brush their teeth. And then they want to know why the kids don't really adhere to that. The kids don't even hear you anymore. Does anybody get that? If I was to tell you how many times the same thing, Tim, you would tune me out, would you not?
Probably, yeah.
Of course you would. I would tune you out as well.
No, I turn a deaf ear.
You do. You turn a deaf ear. So you would tune somebody right out. And I would tune you out and say, I don't want to hear this guy anymore. He's annoying. I don't want to brush my teeth. And I was like, he's telling me to brush my teeth. Don't want to do it. And that's what. So I think a lot of it starts again in our youth, not just as little ones, adolescents. Certainly as we get a little older, teenagers, and we get more out into the world, and people that tell us we can't do things, people that tell us to blend in, people that tell us that we have to conform to society. We have become a society of conformists. That's really what's happened in this country. And that's what you've seen. And you had a good marker a bit ago back in the 60s. You're right. Things have sort of changed from the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. And over this last 50 years, there definitely has been, a different mode in this country than what we've seen in the earlier generations. There are those shining stars, Tim, but they're far and few in between, and there's a lot of average. You can see a lot of the average out there. people are just not able and willing to push the limits anymore. They're not willing to push the boundaries, Tim.
No, they're not. Do you think back within that time period, because it was post-war from World War II, that because we had the military type of people coming back, do you think that's that influence? Because the military is like that. It's a cookie cutter. You do everything the same way. You do things this way. And you think that kind of affect our society to make us better?
Well, they're very disciplined. I mean, the military is very, very disciplined. You have to fall in order. And that may have been part of it. Maybe that is. And there are some who like that regimen, who want to see more of that. People falling in order, people doing the things that they're supposed to do. All right, take a look right now at what's going on around the world, Tim. Everybody can appreciate what's happening. Over these past couple of years, we've seen more change in the world in the last 2 years than we've seen in the last 30. I mean, we've seen heads of state, dictators changed. Look what's happening in Europe this past week or so. Countries are just more European leaders have been changed than any time in history. And we see this evolution happening where people are rising up because they're frustrated with their leaders. They're frustrated with government. They want more out of life. And we're seeing that time and time again. And I think that the difference between Europe and the States here, the one thing America always had going for it, and the reason I bring this up, Tim, is, you know, there's this very delicate balance, and business people can understand what I'm talking about, when this delicate balance about how much government is too much government, where does business fit into all of this, are we really a free enterprise capitalistic society, or are we in more of a government-controlled environment? That delicate balance is always something America has handled well up to this point. We had been known over the years to be an innovative group. We have known to have been hard workers. And I think the difference between Americans and Europeans, we were risk takers. I don't see Europeans as risk takers by and large.
No.
You understand?
Yeah, society is not that way.
When you think of being entrepreneurial, you're thinking about enterprise and you're thinking about jumping off the cliff. You don't say, I'm gonna fly out to France and do that. I mean, that really doesn't come to your mind. You know, you don't say, well, I'm going to get out to Spain or Italy or England and do something fantastic. I mean, it really isn't the key. You're going to America. This is where people come. This is where stuff happens. So this is really the change in the evolution of this is really remarkable. Let's, Tim, let's bring back what do we have for time, buddy, left?
Probably about 10 more minutes. And,
okay.
A couple of things regarding about you say why people are afraid to challenge themselves and stay out of the comfort zone.
Say that one more time.
Why individuals are afraid to challenge themselves by stepping out of their comfort zone.
Let's talk about that, and that will allow me to bring in brain thinking. I don't want to lose the time to be able to help people with this line of thinking. And what you just said feeds right into that. Getting out of our comfort zones. All right, let's talk about this a moment. You wake up in the day. You have these great thoughts. You have something you want to accomplish in the day. You have a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, I think most people have some pretty good ideas. They have some things they would like to do that to push, you know, their agenda forward, to push the envelope and bust it open. The challenge is we get to a point, Tim, and I want everyone to understand what I'm going to explain it here properly. We accept a good idea as being okay. Some people say, well, that's not a bad thing. In other words, you take your idea all the way to the point of being, well, okay, so I did something with it, and I'm satisfied. Let me move on. The problem is, we don't have enough people that are busting through that. There's a series of stages you have to go through to be able to get to be a brink thinker and to get yourself on the brink, Tim. And you can see brink thinkers immediately out in society when you see those people who are doing special, extraordinary things. Obviously, you know, we all know the brand of a Steve Jobs. We all know that he did some extraordinary things. And we know he had a brink thinker mentality. Okay. So what does that mean? If Steve had taken a lot of these ideas and products and just settled for the first time they had something that worked right and released it out there, Apple would have only became an average company. It would have never have grown to be the largest company on the planet. It would never have busted through those barriers. You've got to be willing to take your idea forward to what I call the question everything stage. You've got to question everything about it. I mean, everything. You've got to look north and south and here and there, and you've got to really question everything around you. It's a process. Once you start to question everything, you've got to be able to break through the boundaries. There are always going to be boundaries on things. Everything around you has a boundary, some sort of limitation that you have to get around, whatever it might be. So you've got to get in the process of breaking through those boundaries. And so you've got to know what those boundaries are as you take this problem forward or this challenge or idea forward. As you break through the boundaries, if you really push the envelope with that particular challenge, you get to the absurd stage. And this is really the fun stage that, Tim, a lot of people never really truly experience. Because the absurd stage scares people out of their wits. It really does. It scares the hell out of people. So they want to run the other way because I can't do that. Oh, my God. There's no way. I mean, it's only me. Who am I? You know, or I can't handle that. Or, we are easy to talk ourselves out of these things very simply because we don't believe, we convince ourselves we can't do it. You have to be willing to embrace the absurd stage and push through. And when you push through the absurd stage, no matter what other people are saying, no matter what else is going on, and you have this, and you get to a point where, well, this is pretty freaking absurd at this point. I mean, I'm hanging out here at the end of, off the end of a tree, and you know, I'm not sure where this is going to go. You continue on that track and understand the balance between what a good idea is and how you can really make it a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just beyond that absurd stage. If you have the courage to stay on that horse right through there, you will get to the brink of that idea. And when you're at a brink thinking mentality, you've got to that point of accomplishing something that is fairly extraordinary in whatever area that you're in, you're chosen. And so it's really having that drive and conviction through these various stages to be able to take your ideas and your concepts, push it forward. It's a process and a trademark I've developed some years ago that I am writing a book on, Tim, but I think it's trying to help Americans and other people become the brink thinkers in their life. How can you excel? How can you excel at those challenges in life and bring your ideas forward so that you can be the brink thinker, so that you can shine? And that's really a process that I think is extraordinary. I think it separates average from good to just being extraordinary. And we need more extraordinary in America. Don't you agree?
Absolutely.
That's what we're talking about. That's that brink thinker mentality. So Malcolm has always called himself a brink thinker because I've always pushed the boundaries in my life. I've always been the one to rock the apple cart. I've always been the one to, challenge people. I challenge the status quo on a regular basis and spark and encourage people to be the very best they can be. So this is really part of my speaking circuit, which we just, I've always enjoyed speaking, but now in speaking to larger groups and to be able to bring them to a brink thinker mentality, that's what we're speaking about, to break these steps down and help encourage people, Tim, to embrace that better quality life. I think that's where it's at.
Okay. When you were at the top of the hour, you mentioned about advertising itself. You were working in an advertising firm, or was advertising business referring to? Taking advertising today and with social media, during that time, well, before social media, it was pretty traditional. What do you see things going today? Because even when you're thinking of smash the competition, even in that sense of the word advertising, I mean, it's good, in one sense, but it's more confusing in another sense because some of those traditional methods don't work. What's your opinion on how things are going in that in the sense of advertising?
Well, you know, I my days in the advertising, I was the CEO of a advertising marketing agency. So our clients, again, was a worldwide agency. So we did business in many different countries. And and so my background was really in how to make people and companies look brilliant, how to make them look their very best, how to create that polish and that package, if you will. Now, for most of the years, there was no social media because that's really a new advent here in this country. So that really didn't exist only until the end, and I've been out of the industry for probably about close to 5 years, Tim, okay? So we were there at some of the early signs of social media. It was happening, but I think today you have so many advantages. My God, I mean, you talk about an integrated marketing plan and approach, and there are so many people. The biggest complaint people give me, Tim, when they want to start a company or a business or they have an idea is, how do I raise the capital? Nobody will give me the money, you know? Well, nobody gave me the money either, kid. Welcome to the club. So I think you have to learn and understand. Today, you have a huge advantage because of technology, because of the advent of the internet, and because of communications and the changes we've embraced in this world. My God, we're changing everything today with telecommunications, our internet-based product. And I mean, you just, I mean, we're talking about, I mean, how mind-boggling is it, guys? I mean, the internet has taken countries down. I mean, the internet has changed the way of life for so many. I mean, this is a huge vehicle, and it certainly has wrestled. It's like our show, MalcolmOutloud.tv. I have a news magazine show that is viewed on the web every day, Tim, and you'll see the best of the best. We just had an interview with Herman Cain on there, a two-part interview where and so you can check out Malcolm and see how we interview in the style, but that's, you know, sitting down with a business leader such as that and talking about, you know, what are some of the problems and challenges we have. So I think today you have so many tools at your fingertips that you didn't have 50 years ago. There's more reasons to succeed today than there are to fail. And you just have to get that delicate balance, Tim. But advertising and marketing has absolutely changed. But the key is you have to have a good product or service. You can't fake that too long. People will find you out. You understand? So you have to have a good product or service. And you have to be in business for the right reasons. You have to be really willing to help people and be sincere, because if you're going to be a phony and package things up in a very deceivous way, you're not going to last. There's no way you're going to stay in business or strive for anything bigger. People are going to bring you out, and they're going to really pin you as the loser that you are. I mean,
wow.
And so that's the fact. So I think you can't get into this thing, seriously, if you're a con artist or you're just looking to, make the people, show them how to make their money evaporate. That's not going to fly real well. You understand?
I follow.
Yeah.
Right.
So you've got to be in it for the right reasons. If you go the extra mile, think about all the places, Tim, you frequent today that you do business with. Think about the places you go to. You go to them for several reasons. I'm talking your best restaurants, your best retailers, your best – whoever you go to. You go to people and you frequent certain people because the service is really good. You like the extra edge. You favor the people who treat you well. You like those people who make you feel comfortable, welcome, who you don't think are going to pull the wool over your eyes, but that are going to help you make the right decision. And those people who you think are going to, take advantage of you, you avoid. Is that a correct assessment?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody does. And you can't hide anymore because everything is so transparent on the internet.
That's right, buddy.
One review can just... A bunch of reviews can kill your business and probably quicker than it takes to build it.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. The rules have changed. So the rules, Tim, you just said was a great point, because the rules have changed in the regard that, hey, you can really strive and do better, and you have the tools available to you, but those tools also can hurt you a great deal. The transparency of all of us now is out there. You can find out anything about anyone, and people don't realize the kind of stuff they're posting on social media right now is coming back to haunt you. So If you don't want other people to know, or that to surface someday, that it might wreck your career or your personal life or business life, whatever, then don't post it. Don't put it on there, because you're taking a hell of a chance. Now, if you're like me and you're speaking the truth all the time and it really doesn't matter, then say what the hell you want to say and let it rip.
Wow, that's a market.
That's where I come from. You understand? I mean, whatever I said, great. I'm happy to have said it, and it's out there. And you know what? So that's about as transparent as I can be. And I think because I'm talking the same talk and my truth is the truth, I'm comfortable with that, Tim. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a question real quick before we go into the program and talk about advice that you would give to people. But tell us today, I know you're going to have an opinion, a strong opinion, where we have it in America. I mean, we've been a land of plentiful. I mean, just many, many blessings through several centuries, and all of a sudden, we, in the first time in our lives, a nation's history, we can't compromise. We can't get our business in order. I mean, and all of a sudden, it's just been within the last couple of years. What do you think where we have it? I mean, is this going to clear itself? Because this is probably the one unknown election ever, probably in our history. Some things we can anticipate, but this election has a lot at stake that we never had to face before. Because whoever in the White House, whoever in Congress, whoever in the Senate next year has some hard decisions that they're going to have to face before something crashes. Because we're living on fumes, and then all of a sudden that 2013 rolls around next January, someone has going to they're going to have to make some hard decisions, and it's not going to be what they're preaching right now, that these things are going to be snowy and wonderful. It's going to be something, you know. What do you think?
Well said, Tim. It's a question we all ask ourselves today, no doubt about it. I think we're at a very dangerous crossroads in this country at this time of life. You know, Tim, I always look around, and when I see kids and I see little ones, I wonder if they're going to be able to grow up, if we're still going to be here. I wonder what kind of quality of life they're going to have. I think about my own two, which are 8 and 10, and I question and wonder, will they have anywhere near a life in 50 years from now? Because they'll be here in 50 years from now, more than likely. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And I question that, and I wonder that as I look around. I see the recklessness of our government. I see the recklessness of a lot of greedy people on Wall Street. I see that we're completely out of control in many, many areas. This is something I talk about passionately every day, and I think more business people need to understand the ramifications of government and how much is too much or too little, or where are we at and what do we expect from society at this point of time. There's a lot to this. This is a very crucial election, you're right, coming up, and how that impacts business people. And too many people look the other way, Tim. They don't think it's going to impact them. They don't think that they can make a difference. They think they're only one vote. I've had some really smart people say some really dumb things to me, like that they're not voting because it doesn't really matter. They're not going to be able to change anything anyway. Well, that's just terrific. If we can multiply that thought by 10 million, we've got 10 million no votes, and obviously election that is going to the populist and the people who are pushing the agenda. Here's what happens. We have different ideologies in this country. We have nut jobs, extremists on the left, and we have nut job and extremists on the right. We have these left and right views of where we should be in America, in society here. And then we have where most Americans are, which is in the center of that. The center of the conversation is where most people are. They just want a good quality of life, Tim. They want to have a good business. They want to have their family well. They want to work hard. They want to do the right things. By far and large, I think that's where America is. But then we have the extremists And the problem is the extremists are the ones that are getting the attention of the media. These are the media sound bites you're hearing. So the extremists out there, if you listen and you look at a lot of the sound bites over the past few weeks, it's the extremists who are getting the attention. Now, if they're getting the attention, Tim, and they're really creating our conversation at the water cooler, the problem with that is that when you go into the polls, you go into the election, the booth to pull your lever down, which and vote, the problem is you are now hearing those extremists in your mind because the media plays it that way. So you're hearing the far left lunatics and you're hearing the far right lunatics. And that's who's winning elections, is the mindset for these lunatics who put their ideas out there, force them on the public, the media, which they each have an agenda. All of the networks have an agenda. The newspaper across this country has an agenda. The only place you're going to hear any truth, if you're looking for them in a medium, is going to be talk radio and the blogs around this country on the internet, where you can get some real opinions from real people who have real brains and who really matter. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, we're in a bit of a pickle. And because they're creating this conversation out there and they're creating, you know, again, what I call the water cooler conversation, I think we're in a hell of a pickle. And I think it's hard to break out of that because we're brainwashing people. And so we're slowly really screwing up society more and our belief in America more with these lunatics, these fringe lunatics. And this is a hard call, so we're going to need people to stand up, and we're going to need to take some control back. We're going to need everybody to vote with their conscience of how much is too much and where that balance is. And again, we're spending too much. The problem what's happening in Europe right now is what's going to happen and is happening in America. And anybody who thinks it's not going to happen in the home of the free and the brave are so disillusioned that you have no concept of what's going on.
But you don't know who to trust.
Like, what's that?
Yeah, I mean, I think society just don't know who to trust. You
know, they don't know who to trust.
Is, you know, because they say these things, and you know, now they tune their deaf to it. They turn a deaf ear. I don't believe you. I don't believe what you're going to say. I think you're just saying things to get elected, and it's like we never had this ever in life. That when a politician speaks, we know every time he moves, you know, the saying that they're lying.
That's
but
the problem.
But in a sense, we don't even trust them.
That's
you know,
the problem.
We can, that's the horrible thing about it. Is
well,
just
because
people,
they'll say anything to get elected, Tim. Anything to get elected. You can hear the talk and the cheap talk coming out of a candidate a mile away. And the promises they make when they're in election mode in a campaign is absolutely absurd. I mean, the things that they say that we hold them not accountable, not one second, is amazing to me. You take President Obama right now. There are specific promises the man made. One is that if the economy wasn't vastly improved within that three-year cycle from when he was elected in 2008, that he would be a one-term president, and he probably wouldn't even run the second term.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he also promised that unemployment would always be below 8%. Then you've got promises that they're making of tax reform out there, the Republicans are. You've got people like in the campaign mode that are promising gas under $2 a gallon. They'll promise
it's
you
crazy.
It's crazy. They're promising you things they can't possibly control and deliver, and people actually believe them, Tim. That's the problem.
And some people do, and the wise one really don't. And you will look at it. I say, okay. Is he, you know, gas is, you know, we're just not that gullible to believe. We're not ever going to be at $2 a gallon. And,
right.
And this.
Not when OPEC is controlling the prices, not when OPEC is. And second, not when we don't take energy seriously in this country. And there's another problem I have, by the way. I am so sick of a general election. And I can always tell when I can tell without even looking at my calendar when it's time for a general election, Tim. And you know how?
Mm-hmm.
I can always hear the soundbite of alternative energy and energy independence being talked about in the media. When I start hearing that, I know immediately there's an election coming. You understand?
Absolutely.
I don't even need to know that there's an election. I just know by those soundbites because they lie through their teeth
the
office.
Yeah. Well, why do you think that the Republicans – if there's no energy behind Romney, I mean, it's like, oh, my gosh. But, you know, we like the guy on paper, in one sense, but however, it's just they don't trust him. I don't know, because, you know, Christians will have issues still with him being a Mormon. They have to get over that. That is a huge option. But the candidates, all the candidates you can have for a Republican candidate, nobody stepped forward.
Tim, there are two mistakes that Romney made, I believe, that are going to be things he has got to get over to win the general election. And these two problems they're real. Number one, I've said from the beginning, he lacks the authenticity. What I talked to you a few moments ago about business people and being successful, see, he has some of those human ailments. You see, Romney has those. He owns some of them. And the deal is that people read through that. Many people believe he's a phony. Many people believe that he will tell you whatever it is you want to hear so that he wins the White House. Now, he did not win in the White House for money. It's not about money. It's about power. It's always been about power, Tim. That's what they want, power. These are the cats who run for political office. And so without authenticity, it's very difficult. The second problem that Romney has had, I mean, that's why the authenticity is why he has not resonated with the American people truly. The second problem, this man, you obviously know what he's against. You probably just don't know what he's for. And the reason for that is he has ran one of the most negative advertising campaigns ever. The reason his opponents are not endorsing him quickly, and you're having to drag them to the altar screaming and shouting to be able to get them to – which is highly unusual for a political party, for them not to immediately get behind the front runner. I don't remember a time. Even Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama kissed and made up immediately to win the election.
Yeah.
You understand? The candidates in the Republican Party, Romney beat the hell out of them with negative advertising, every one of them. Anybody stuck their head out of the ground, he was there with a big bat and smashed them over the head. Call them whatever they wanted to call him. It wasn't about ideas and solution. It was about, I'm going to beat the hell out of you. And so he won that based on this negative mentality. I haven't seen that to that degree in an election ever. So those are the two problems. Now, if those two problems hadn't existed, you had a front runner in the GOP, and then you can get into Romneycare and Obamacare and all that nonsense. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. But the problem now is a lot of people are going to go into this election with two candidates, and they don't like either. They don't like the current circumstances and the bloated government. President Obama has added, by the time he leaves office, my friend, here's the biggest lie. He would have added $6 trillion dollars to our debt. $6 trillion. This is a man. He has added the most debt of any person in the history of the world. I mean, nobody has added more debt ever than Barack Obama. Let's get that clear up front. So and the problem is the administration before that didn't do very much better either. They added $4 trillion. But that was over 8 years. This guy in 3 years has added $6 trillion. Do the math. You want to know where society is going? We're broke. We're bankrupt. No business in your wildest imagination could live with a balance sheet like the United States government has. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
They would come in with white coats and they would tie you up and drag you out and you wouldn't have a chance for any tomorrows. That's really what's going on here. And so we have some real problems in this country. And this is all really impacting all of us. And those who think it isn't, it is. And so this is going to be a tough race. This is going to be a tough program. People are not going to be happy with either candidate, a lot of people that have to go vote. And some people are going to stay home. It's going to be hard to drive the vote out this time because it's going to be a lack of excitement, Tim. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what really worries me. And people are not going to exercise their right to vote. And a lot of people are going to say, I'm not going to be able to change this thing anyways, and it's either going to be dumb or dumber. I'm not voting for either, thank you. I'll stay home. That's
and
sad,
which,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's really sad. Lastly, real quick, because we have before we go off the air, what advice do you have for businesses today?
I say step out, man. Step out.
Okay.
Be a brink thinker. First advice I have is go buy my book. How's that for good advice, brother?
Okay, great.
Smash the competition the right way. You catch it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. They all have great prices. That's the best way to buy it online, I think, today. And keep in touch with us, Malcolm Out Loud TV. You can email me at speakup@malcolmoutloud.com. And Tim, if they if one disagrees with the conversation, tell them we can also, they can email me at shutup@malcolmoutloud.com. Both email addresses are effective, and we welcome your conversation, whatever it might be. Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter is a great place to connect up as well. Keep the conversation going. Let me know how I can help you. And let's look for the people who are sincere. Let's look for the people we want to partner with and things that can make life better. Step out. Become a brink thinker. Think more absurdly in your life is the best advice I can give someone today.
Great. Thanks. We're going to leave it at that. Thank you, Malcolm. I really appreciate it.
Tim, pleasure to be with you, brother. Take care.
Okay. Take care. Again, it's been another production of Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You can download this episode on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. Everybody, take care and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.